Good morning. This is Robert Murphy, 94.7 WLS, and you're listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'll see you in the future.
Good morning! Welcome to Too Much Scrolling for January 13th, 2015. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Hessenflot.
And we're just a couple of guys sitting around talking about things that are important to us. Hopefully they're important to you. If you need more information, there's lots of great ways to find more information. My favorite thing in January is to look at all the news coming out of the CES, the Consumer Electronics Show. And my place to look for all of that information is usually Engadget.com.
You use Gadget.com?
Engadget. Engadget.
I do not use Engadget.com. I get mine, I guess, from other sources.
Yeah, you were using your Apple TV to look at some of the reports coming out of CES when I came in.
I watch the Wall Street Journal app quite a bit. Every once in a while, I watch the Bloomberg app. And, of course, Sky News. So you can figure out what the weather is across the world in Celsius and try to make sense of it.
It's cold.
Well, it's not cold everywhere.
It's cold. That's all I know.
It's cold around our house, and I'm assuming it's cold around most of the U.S. In fact, there was a statistic, I can't remember what it was, maybe 75% of the U.S. was below freezing this morning. So
schools are closed, people are happy, it's time for another wonderful winter in the wonderful Midwest.
And my buddy down in South Florida sent everybody a posting showing it's 55 degrees down there.
Yeah.
So thank you very much.
The one thing about Florida, when it's 55, the people run out of the Publix. The grocery store Publix down in Florida, if it's 55 degrees, people are running because it's so cold. It's 55 degrees. And we go down there as Midwesterners and go, what are you talking about? We're in short pants.
All right, so in North Carolina, one of the things that we got to deal with was Canadians like to come down and vacation in North Carolina, say in maybe late April, early May. And it's not cold in North Carolina at that time, but it certainly isn't like June warmth. And the water, though, is cold on the beach. But the Canadians are jumping in, they're having the best time. And I understand that, because if you've been up to the Northeast U.S. or Canada, the water is very cold up there. And I guess it would be moderate. I mean, it's probably still cold, but I don't know. Last year was a good example of what my first time dealing with this, where we dealt with like 2 weeks of below freezing weather. Maybe it was negative 10, negative 20, negative 30, whatever it was. And then it got warm up to like 20 degrees. And I'm outside shoveling in a t-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had gotten somewhat used to it.
A 50-degree swing is a big swing, no matter what the two numbers are that you're going 50 degrees between.
But it's bitter out there right now, like my heart.
That's right. Brings us to our film at 11, our movie this week. I'm over here at Chip's house because we just finished watching The Interview.
We watched The Interview because my brother called me and said, you should watch The Interview.
Despite the fact that you vehemently said on two different occasions on this show you would not watch The Interview.
I had no desire to see this movie.
Your brother called you, and so you ponied up the $6. We sat down, we watched The Interview.
That's right. So I trust my brother a whole bunch. Because when he says watch something, that doesn't mean it's the excellent thing, or it doesn't mean that we have the same taste. But I trust what he says. And so he said, it's funny, and you should see it.
It's funny enough. I'll give you that. I laughed out loud, what, 5-6 times?
Correct.
That's really what I was looking for out of this movie. I was expecting it to be laugh out loud funny, a few quick hit scenes. Mm-hmm. And that's what I got. I expected it to be gross. I expected it to be inappropriate. I expected it to be ridiculous. And boy, it really paid off all of those categories.
Yeah, I'll agree with you. I don't think this was a great film by any means. But as a ridiculous comedy, that certainly was not worthy of any international type of incident.
No.
But turned out to be, and you keep wondering, was this all a big setup by Sony? I don't think Sony felt that way. I think that they really feel like they were terrorized But, you know, we've got a president who said something about it. We've got the FBI who said something about it.
Additional sanctions have been placed upon North Korea for this incident.
And this is a silly film. This is it's a toss-away film. I don't think it will grow with repeat viewings.
You brought up two other movies after we were done watching the interview. You said this is no Team America World Police.
Correct. Team America was far superior.
I love Team America. It's a great movie.
Team America has the great line, what we really need is an actor.
That's right. That's one that grows with continued viewing. I can watch Team America again, and I can notice things I didn't notice before, laugh just as hard as I did the first time. It's ridiculous, it's gross, it's inappropriate, but it's smart.
It is. The premise of this film, of Team America, was that America gets themselves in all these different things, blows up, destroys Paris. That's the first scene. Destroys Paris, and then expects Paris to, or the French to turn around and thank us. Like, thank you for saving us. You just destroyed our city. And the other part is that they are marionettes,
right?
And they never can act well.
They never work.
And they've who are the gentlemen who?
Trey Parker and Matt Stone.
Okay, they never will work with puppets again.
That was a great interview. You saw that interview?
No.
Where they were giving a panel, and Trey Parker and Matt Stone said, we hated working with actors. We didn't want to make any more movies with actors. Actors are so awful. They need all these things, and we have to give them all these things to do their job. We said, that's it. We're not working with actors anymore. We decided we're going to work with marionettes. And after doing Team America World Police, we are never working with marionettes again.
One of my favorite scenes in that movie was when they get to North Korea. And the cat, the black cat.
The black cat, the panther. Oh my God, it's the panther. And it's just a regular house cat.
That the growls that are coming above it. And it's just...
That's a good movie. Inappropriate, disgusting, awful, and very funny. The interview was okay. It was all right.
It was. It was okay. Maybe it was a good date night movie or something of that nature where it is... I wouldn't say it's anything more than like humor, mm-hmm. And silly humor, mm-hmm. like stupid person humor, which is okay too. I don't mind. We talked about Dumb and Dumber. Yeah, these are mindless movies that are enjoyable to watch.
It's not as much slapstick as some of those movies, but it's certainly got its slapstick elements to it. Just the silly things that are... It's mostly a dialogue-driven comedy, where the silly things that the people are saying, and you're going, oh, that's funny, he said that, and that wouldn't be said in real life. That's the juxtaposition.
Well, Franco and Seth Rogen, right?
Correct.
All right, so both of these guys, they're great friends,
mm-hmm.
and you can tell that they're having a good time.
And that they've worked together for 15 years since Freaks and Geeks.
And so, you know, everything is far more dramatic than it should be. The humor is, you know, it's flippantly told, but obviously, you know, it's meant to be shocking. But, you know, the other person's like, oh, of course.
That, right.
Okay. Yeah, it's like no big deal.
Yeah, and you noticed one scene that was really heavily edited, and I pointed out that probably that scene took an hour to film. They were probably cracking each other up.
Well, the editing between them is they probably tried out 100 different lines.
That's probably true, too.
And they cut together the best ones they could.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my guess. This certainly wasn't worthy of all the hubbub that brought it up. I don't necessarily think that if it would have opened up on Christmas Day when it was supposed to, it would have done particularly well.
What a strange date to release that movie. A Christmas Day release doesn't make much sense to me.
No, and you know, this is not a February release where, you know, films go to die.
Right.
I don't know when a good time.
Thanksgiving, maybe.
Yeah, maybe Halloween. Something there. Something where you have traffic, maybe date night type traffic.
Mm-hmm.
I know this by releasing it the way they did through limited release in theaters and through Apple TV and YouTube, the Google Play. And was it on through Roku or anything like that?
It is the Google Play through Roku and the Xbox One. You can rent it on there as well.
I know that it has significantly reduced the amount of revenue that it's gotten. You know, I don't know if it's gotten $10 million or whatever, but you showed me beforehand the previous movie they did together, which was equally as outlandish.
This is the end.
This is the end.
Yes.
Well, it was meant to be shocking and all the other parts.
Now, I went to the theater to see This is the End.
Because you watched that movie, I came back from a meeting. And I don't know, I was driving by the theater about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And I stopped at the iPick.
Yeah.
I was the only person in the theater. I watched it by myself.
And it lost something because you were by yourself.
It absolutely did. Yeah. Because that movie... There are certain movies, especially when they're meant to be, you know, I'm going to say Hot Tub Time Machine or something like that. These are movies that are meant to be shocking, fun, outlandish, stupid humor.
Mm-hmm.
But they work well in a group setting because the humor becomes, you're laughing with everyone else.
Yeah.
Seeing them by yourself, like movies that do not age real well at all on repeat viewing. I'm thinking like Bruno. With what's his name? Sacha Cohen.
Yeah.
All right, and what's the other one he did?
Borat.
You watch them once, you get the outlandish humor if you're with a group. You watch it a second time, there is no humor in it.
The Sacha Baron Cohen, his claim to fame is those words that he said that were so outlandish can be used in other situations. We can say very nice.
That's right.
And then bring back all of those memories of that film. I don't know that there's anything in the interview that's going to live on that way.
No, I don't think so either. I didn't mind watching this film. But I didn't think it was... Yeah, I don't want to say that it's not worth watching. I thought it was reasonable.
I think it's worth $6 for two people to sit down and watch, especially when you paid.
That's right, exactly. Especially when I pay. It makes it always great.
Opening this week, maybe some better movies will come out in the theaters. Paddington, the 2015 version of everyone's favorite talking bear who likes marmalade, is coming out in theaters this week, along with The Wedding Ringer, which is a story that we've heard lots of times before. The guy who's not all that cool, played by Josh Gad, who is the guy who's not all that cool.
That Josh Gad plays, this is his character.
He plays
a great character. He's kind of a little clueless.
Yeah, a little bit of a stereotype going on there.
He'll play that character for many years and basically create a career out of it.
And in this story, he is getting married, and he does not have a best man to be a part of his wedding because he's socially awkward. He doesn't have a best friend, so he employs a man who will get paid to be the best man and shows him the ropes and how to be cool. And that's the actor Kevin Hart, who is, of course, as cool as they come.
Very likable. Very charming. All those fun things.
Yeah. Don't call it Hitch. Because it's not the movie Hitch, where the one character is socially awkward and the other character gets paid to show him how to not be socially awkward. Oh, wait. It's Hitch.
Well, it seems very... if we look at the Book of Mormon, his character he played there, which he owned it so well.
Oh.
And then we also have Olaf, who was on Frozen.
Right.
Who is... my kids just... If you put on, Do You Want to Build a Snowman... They'll sing it all along with you.
Mm-hmm.
But they love the song Summer. It's Summer.
Uh-huh.
Because
the Olaf song.
Yeah, basically at the end, they get this, it's summer. Mm-hmm. And it's like Broadway moment for every kid. And my daughter wants to hit every note on that.
Have you ever seen Thanks for Sharing?
No.
That is the Josh Gad and Mark Ruffalo, Gwyneth Paltrow vehicle where they are sex addicts. And learning how to deal with their sex addiction. And Josh Gad plays that same socially awkward character, but this one happens to have a sex addiction.
Well, that should be... It sounds like that would be humorous. as humorous as The Interview.
It's way more touching, obviously. It's more of a drama. It's more about change and finding yourself and dealing with your problem and moving on and finding love.
Oh, it's awesome.
It's a good movie.
And go back to the other one that was Paddington Bear. I was given, I got an email. There's a service here in the Chicago area you can sign up for, and they will, you can go to a preview of the film.
Mm-hmm.
And I've gone to a few of them, particularly if they're in the Schaumburg area, because that's close enough to get to. But they're downtown, and I got a preview of, they were giving away four-pack family tickets to go downtown and watch this film. And basically you are to review the film and spread it around your friends.
Mm-hmm.
Paddington, my daughter, youngest daughter, wants to see.
Mm-hmm.
My oldest daughter could care less right now. We're moving from the pink and purple. We're going to get some monotone colors pretty soon.
Yep.
And
my oldest son, who is in class with your oldest daughter, played Paddington in third grade.
Oh, really?
In a very, very small production in the classroom.
That's right. Yes. And, you know, my daughter did too.
So
I mean, he didn't play Paddington Bear, but played in that play.
Right.
So I think that's where it was introduced. Paddington, I knew from as a kid. My mother liked Paddington for some mm-hmm. reason, and always had some Paddington stuff around.
It's a very gentle storyline. There's no surprises to Paddington's story. It's a abandoned bear who gets adopted by a lovely family, and he does all of those nice family things that you expect to happen. There's some slapstick in there. You know, that's what kids like, is they like slapstick. Sure. So this is going to be that family.
This was a book series originally.
Right. Yeah. Books first, and then cartoons, several different movie versions. And this one will do well. There's no reason it won't do well.
It'll be ready for Easter.
Right.
Coming out on Blu-ray and DVD.
That's right. Brings us to our appetite, our app of the week this week. And I think we've talked about this, but maybe not on the show. The app of the week this week is called Plague, which sounds horrible.
It's a bubonic?
It is. It is a play on the idea of going viral, the idea of sharing information and seeing where it goes around the world.
Okay.
Plague is an app where you share information, you put a sentence up, picture, a video, a hyperlink, and you can share that with the world. The thing about Plague that's different from all of the others is you actually see a map of where people have seen your posting and how they have spread the plague.
Okay. Well, there seems to be a couple of apps or add-ons to a browser that I use. And basically one of them, I can't think of the name of it, but what it does is it... When you go to a website, it shows you who everywhere they're sharing your information.
Very good.
Oh, it is. And the other is, if you go to, I've got a website, the Practical Praxeology website, and if you go onto that website, it will show who has linked to or who has found your articles.
Hmm.
So basically, what it does is it will say, okay, you've had, let's just say you have 50 visitors today, or 100 visitors, or how many you have. It'll show that, four of them came from India, five of them came from Australia. It'll show where the U.S. and the U.S. map, where they're coming from. So they've come from the Chicago area versus Florida versus California, wherever it would come through. So I guess it is interesting information, how information can get across mm-hmm. the world. And, as you use the web, you find yourself, all of a sudden you're watching a Chinese video
mm-hmm.
because you don't understand the language, but you understand the humor. Or you're watching some English commercial that's totally inappropriate for the U.S.
And so many of those get then translated and redone and reissued as American shows. A lot of people are watching the Red Band Society on Fox this year. That is originally a Spanish soap opera.
Really?
From Spain. Originally not in Spanish. Originally in Castellan, the other language of Spain.
That's going to be an interesting thing to happen. And I'm going to mention this. As entertainment... as we and we call, shouldn't call it stealing, as you know, all of a sudden we were grabbing English shows and redoing it for the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
or grabbing an Australian show and redoing it for the U.S. When do those shows stand on their own?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when do we go directly to the source? Because it is interesting, because if we go to Australian television or to English television, there are different standards on what is acceptable or not. We typically are very, very liberal, particularly when we're dealing with Hollywood, you know, California productions. And there's a distinct difference between Hollywood productions and BBC, shouldn't call BBC, English productions and Australian productions. And as different as there's a different way of looking at things with, if we think of Nashville as another entertainment mecca, Nashville, what they will accept versus what Hollywood accepts is different also. Is Hollywood going to continue to be as influential on the world, on how the world sees the United States? Because if we don't look at it as propaganda, we look at it as they're consuming entertainment, but they're taking it, oh, you know, we're all Americans, we all live in Texas, but New York is right on the outside, and LA is right on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we're in New York with cowboy hats, and the planes are right there.
Yeah. Yeah. There's so much entertainment that is produced from the United States that is sent around the world. Mm-hmm. That is our propaganda. That is our way of life. Here, everybody else, this is what you should be aspiring to. And that does happen. And those shows do get adopted and adapted in other countries. There are lots of ripoffs of American shows in other languages. This has been happening for as long as television has existed.
I can see that if you're speaking a different language. Like, mm-hmm. if all of a sudden they take Dallas, like an old show, and they're going to make it, and they're going to call it Bangkok, or you know, whatever it is, and it's set up. They speak a different language. But what if they don't speak a different language? You know, could we accept... we do every once in a while. All of a sudden, you watch Doctor Who.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do.
Okay. But, I mean, could they accept... Could we accept a show from another country? I know that my oldest daughter was watching a show through Netflix that's a Disney show, but it's an Australian show. And they, in fact, the premise of it was some of them were mermaids or something. And she watched like the three seasons that came on, because if you're Disney, you only do three seasons. And then you move to the next, similar, but not the same.
Because the kids grow up and grow out of that, yeah. It's good.
Exactly.
Disney's so, good at getting our money, that's for sure.
Sure. So, I could see, think about what it could do for the cost of production.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all of a sudden you're making it in an area where actors maybe not, they don't cost as much. That would be very interesting.
It is.
Yeah.
Interesting stuff. Brings us to our book of the week this week. I'm still reading so much because it's not exactly Christmas break anymore, but boy, it just keeps getting colder and snowing, and they just don't make me go to school. So instead of going to school, I've been reading. And I started a book just a few days ago, and I've only gotten halfway through it, so I can only discuss the first half.
Okay.
It's called How Star Wars Conquered the Universe. It's the story of how this idea of this one movie in 1977, Star Wars, has become a part of everybody's mentality. Everybody, even people who have never seen this movie, that's the premise of the book, is taking this group of people, happen to be Native American people who were in their 70s and 80s, and talking about 30 years after this movie came out. They've never seen this movie, but they still know Luke Skywalker. They still know Darth Vader. Okay. They still know an X-Wing fighter. Very interesting how much that movie has influenced everything else.
So you're saying they know the characters. When you were explaining, when I was listening to the premise of the book, it sounded to me like it was going to be how things have entered ideas have entered the lexicon. Or ideas where if I said something like, well, these are not the droids we're looking for.
Just the idea of the droids. Yeah. Just the idea that there's a telephone called a droid, and they got that name from
licensing.
Lucas.
Yeah, they're That's licensing. Right. Well, that means they're licensing us from Disney.
Well, now, yeah. Right. But, Disney's good at getting our money.
But the idea of being manipulated through the force, you know, that type of thing. Or, you know, going to see some old sage and you call him a Yoda.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that type of thing.
Right.
Or the Sith being the evil of evil.
It's a pretty simple story. It is that mythological story. We haven't gotten to our Joseph Campbell episode yet, but sure. We keep teasing that we're going to get to our Joseph Campbell episode.
One day we'll talk about Joseph Campbell.
That Joseph Campbell simple mythology story.
Well, every story is a journey, mm-hmm. and there you can take them and you can break them down. And it doesn't matter if you're following Harry Potter or Luke Skywalker or Frodo Baggins. Or any of the other, you know, great stories. You can go all the way back to Sinbad and stuff like that. And they're all following those same patterns.
Mm-hmm.
So I get that part.
There are people who have not seen Star Wars.
There are. My oldest has no desire to. My youngest would absolutely sit through it with me.
Okay.
She's sat down through part of it. They know the characters and stuff like that. But I don't know if it's to them. It's just it may just seem old to them.
Do you think that we've finally gotten to a point where the next generation looks at a movie from 1977 and finally it's dated enough that they look at it and go, no thanks.
It could be colors. It could be all sorts of stuff. I think that was probably what Lucas was trying to do with all the special editions.
I think he was trying to make money.
I get that part too. This is his sandbox. He
yeah,
plays with it.
No kidding.
Obviously, he has missed a step. He defended himself, but I think he recognizes it. I have very high hopes for this seventh Star Wars 7 coming out.
Yeah, we've talked about this before. There are three Star Wars movies. And Episode 7 might very well be the fourth Star Wars movie. Yeah.
I think Star Wars is incredible. In fact, the generation that is, I guess it would be Generation Y, that's behind us,
mm-hmm.
Or Millennials, their version of that is going to be the Harry Potter. Because it's not going to be the movies. It's going to be those books.
Okay.
Because they read those books, and they can talk about, just like if I say it's not more any more difficult than shooting wombats. Was it wombats out in Beggar's Canyon? I got totally messed that up. what is it?
It is
womp rats.
Is it womp rats?
Oh, who knows what it is? But the point is that it's something that's very difficult to do, but it's not impossible.
Right.
And that's when they're talking about how to blow up a Death Star. Like, oh yeah, it's only a meter wide. Oh, it's not even more difficult than shooting womp rats out in Beggar's Canyon.
There you go.
And you're going, how did that rattle off your head? And if you also think about all the... Anytime there's a song, like All About the Bass came out.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happens? There's immediately a Star Wars twist to it, and somebody comes out All About the Bass, and they're talking about the Death Star.
That's right.
So, who knows?
I love Star Wars. I will watch Star Wars. I will watch all of those movies. And when I say all of those, I mean all three of them. I will watch those movies. I will talk about. I will read books about. I will read comic books about. There's a lot there. And I think the next generation is going to be a good extension of those great mythological stories. This book, How Star Wars Conquered the Universe, is really a good exploration of how this became a cultural phenomenon.
Okay. But he has absolutely created... Man, he was just a genius at putting together... Mm-hmm. Like, oh yeah, we're going to do toys and stuff like that. And the studios were signing all this stuff away because it was never... This stuff was never profitable before.
And since we live near Chicago, we're going to be privy to the new George Lucas Museum when it opens on the shores of Lake Michigan. So that's...
Did they win?
Yeah.
That is ridiculous. Why is that not in San Francisco or near...
Because George Lucas's new wife happens to be a real estate magnate in Chicago. That's why.
Oh, that's just so awesome. That's perfect. So awesome.
San Francisco is more Star Trek anyway. That's where the Federation is going to be.
I'm thinking more along the way where his base of operations was.
Skywalker Ranch.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's hidden away and not near a populated area of the world.
What did he do that was very awesome and not so awesome? So he was trying to expand Skywalker Ranch or do something, and all the people complained about it. Do you know this story?
No, I don't know this story.
All right, so this happened maybe a year or so ago. So these people were all the neighbors were complaining, like, "Oh, how can you do this? You cannot do this." So you know, things he did for Skywalker Ranch are parkings underneath, underground. It looks like just a regular house, but it's a much bigger place, stuff like that. So the neighbors were complaining quite a bit. So he. His response was he basically was building either low-cost housing or something like that. So they can complain about that, and let's see how that plays out. He basically said, okay, you're gonna make this difficult. It's all going to be development for low-cost housing.
The way that George Lucas revolutionized special effects and sound, he created all of that Skywalker Ranch stuff for Star Wars 1977. It never existed before that. And every movie since has used that sound system and that special effects company. ILM is on every movie that you can think of.
I think they've done it wasn't the movies that he created. Although Star Wars and The Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi and American Graffiti were groundbreaking.
Mm-hmm.
It was all the stuff he created around that changed the whole industry. And he didn't do it in L.A. He did it up in, wherever he lives in San Francisco area.
Mm-hmm. Brings us to our Now the News segment. We've got a couple of big stories. The first one, the biggest story of the week, was this French satirical newspaper in Paris. They were the victim of a terrorist act where three gunmen came into their office. They, for however, knew that there was a meeting going on of all the editorial staff. They called out their names and killed 12 people.
I can't even comment on it. It's so sad. It's not acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
And the West, it needs to be very clear, this is not acceptable behavior. And, if you want to live in a society like that, there's places on the earth
that will
embrace you for it.
Freedom of speech is always under fire. In this case, it happens to be literally under fire. But even the interview movie, the making of this movie, The Interview, we need to stand up for these people's rights to say whatever they want, even if it's offensive, even if it's juvenile.
Well, I think that was Voltaire's statement. He said, I don't have to agree with what you say, but I'll fight for your right to say it.
That's right.
And I think that's pretty... That's either Voltaire or Thomas Paine. They probably all both said it. But that's a true way of thinking about a liberal society. And I'm not talking about liberal in the sense of, Democrats. I'm talking about liberal in the sense of an open and free society where individuals, as long as they're not hurting someone else... they have the ability to do what they need to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that freedom is the foundation of our country, or at least what we talk about is the foundation of our country. And we need to make sure that we continue to have that. And our hope is that Europe will continue to experience a liberal society also.
Mm-hmm.
If a person is moving from an area that's oppressive, to impose that oppression on that new area. Unacceptable.
Right.
Unacceptable.
I mentioned in the beginning of the show that the International CES, the Consumer Electronics Show, is happening in Las Vegas. I went in 2012.
Yeah.
It was a great time. I love gadgets. I love my electronic toys. Those of you who know me know how many electronic toys I have with me right now, including the microphone that we're speaking into. A lot of news has come out of CES. A lot of new functional things that are going to be coming our way. But the biggest news story so far, Dish Network has unveiled Sling TV. This is a $20 a month service to give those of us who want programming over the internet some of those channels that we could only get through cable up until this point. They said they're going to roll this out by the end of January. This is happening right now, $20 a month.
This is a game changer.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that, I know it only can be used on one device.
$20 a month for one device.
So if you put it on your cell phone, it's on your cell phone. If you put it on an iPad, it's on an iPad. But there is the ability to use it on a big screen TV
mm-hmm.
by hooking it up through, you know, your Xbox or something like that.
Your Roku, your Apple TV, your Amazon Fire Stick. All of those devices are capable of this. The only one that's missing on that list is your Apple TV.
It is, and that may have been on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
I know Apple has some unique software that they use. But I do think that what is most amazing about this is if you had that plus a Hulu subscription, you're at $28 a month.
Mm-hmm.
If you had that only, you know, these are all the channels my children are watching. They may not watch ESPN1 and ESPN2.
That's the big one on this list, is ESPN is a part of this package.
Well, if you're a sports fan, what are you going to get from this? You get ESPN, ESPN2. You'll miss out on a whole bunch of the other ESPN networks, which they're starting to become more specific to your conference, if you like college ball. But, hey, listen, you can't get every game, but you get some games. What else do you get off of this? You get TNT and TBS,
right,
which if you're an NBA fan, that means the games are on ESPN1 and ESPN2, TBS and TNT. That means you're getting bowl games there.
So this is the basketball package, basically.
Well, college football, you're also getting some... let's talk about that in a second, where NFL seems to be missing.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have a deal with Verizon.
Correct.
Okay.
NFL has signed their deal with Verizon saying that they are going to be the provider other than cable and Dish. And
so my assumption is that Monday Night Football, which is on ESPN, will be blacked out.
Probably.
That's my assumption. But we also have the Disney channels that are on this,
mm-hmm.
which are what my kids watch. They watch Home Garden Television and the Food Network.
So those are on this list.
So we're getting a very family, sports-friendly type of group of stations
mm-hmm.
that can be played on one device for $20 a month. If you wanted a second device, you got to pay another $20. I think this is pretty interesting because if you're paying the highest DirecTV, you're probably paying $160-170 a month.
That's a lot different than 20.
It is. If you're paying, and then you have to pay, still have to pay for internet service,
mm-hmm.
which could be anywhere from 50 to $100 a month.
Okay.
So when you start adding those things up, you go, oh, this seems like there could be a real play here. And although the Sling boxes, they're aiming this towards the millennials, the kids who have smartphones and iPads, who have never set up to buy cable, will probably never buy cable.
Mm-hmm.
That's who they're aiming this for. But I'm seeing this could be like a change. When my contract comes up, it seems pretty reasonable. If I could offer my kids, Netflix or Amazon Prime mm-hmm. television, plus I could offer them this, my goodness, they have...
What else do you want?
How much entertainment do you need?
Right. That's a great question. How much entertainment do you need? Because we know, watching our kids, they use YouTube a lot. They get so Vine. Much entertainment, and Vine. Vine is the new thing that they're getting so much entertainment from that. They don't need highly polished sitcoms and highly polished dramas as much as we did when we were growing up.
Correct. We came from a different era mm-hmm. with significantly fewer channels.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're kind of coming to a point where we're asking, do we need all those channels available to us? I mean, History Channel, do they even show history? You know, between Ancient Aliens and some other pawn shop show and on, you know, Tuesday Night Wrestling, is it even a History Channel?
Right.
And I'm not making fun of the History Channel, but I am. But many channels are very similar, A&E or any other.
Sci-fi. Yeah. Sci-fi. That's the idea of a channel of programming has kind of been diluted by all of these other things.
They're going to, these stations are going to need to find a way to become less expensive in their programming.
Great. More reality shows.
Well, I'm sorry. Let me make sure. Fewer high-quality programs, truer to what they say they are. If not, what ends up happening is what happened over the last 2 or 3 years is that Tuesday night, you know, the History Channel has wrestling. Wednesday night, A&E has wrestling. Thursday night, you know, something else has wrestling. It's because it's the only thing that gets ratings. Well, the other alternative to that is produce something high quality for specifically for that channel, but make it more of an event. Like, okay, for the next 10 weeks. Or, you know, basically very similar to last week American Idol started.
Mm-hmm.
Well, American Idol could carry a network for, you know, 6 months or whatever it is.
More reality programming. That's what we need.
Oh, we do.
Oh, no, not at all.
But we got high-quality stuff. Game of Thrones is coming out through HBO. Mm-hmm. And just fewer, more... You know, Netflix has got a whole group of shows that come on. They release the entire season
right
at once. So when that comes out, you can kind of dish it out as you want to.
Yep. Industry is changing, that's for sure. Another thing that's changing, big news that came out of CES this week, Intel has announced its Diversity in Technology Initiative. This is an ambitious $300 million investment intended to increase the representation of women and underrepresented minorities in the workplace in the industry of technology through partnerships and hiring and oversight. Everybody's looking at these issues about how can we diversify? How can we make everything the best we can make it, even if the people that we need to hire live somewhere else?
Well, my goodness, if we look at college graduates, I think it's the first year, I could be wrong, I think it's the first year we have more women graduating from college than men.
Mm-hmm.
Or, I'm sorry, it may be a trend that's happening, and particularly when we start looking at advanced degrees, that is. I don't know if that's the case in engineering and science.
The ratios are changing, there's no doubt about that.
Well, the whole workplace is, I mean, I'm sure you know a number of houses where the woman in the house makes more than the male.
Mm-hmm.
That's happening. And it could, it could be for many, many different reasons. You know, mom is a pediatrician, dad is a construction worker. Okay, that happens.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So the upside as far as salaries could be quite dynamic. It's interesting, $300 million to do this. I think I'm not going to say.
Well,
maybe things haven't naturally happened that way.
The idea
I would assume the trend will start working that way.
The trend is moving in that direction. There is no doubt about that. And there's a lot of people who are focusing on the idea that we should empower our daughters to be whatever they want to be. They should be able to do science and math just as well as their male counterparts in class. And there's a lot of push toward that. Has been for years.
We've done such a good job with this generation, my children's generation, with making sure girls know that they can do things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've done an incredible job. The areas that we're missing, and I'm not saying this is for everybody, boy or girl, are home economics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it's from financial planning to how to make dinner, how to create a budget, to balancing a checkbook, these areas are deficient. But the idea that, you know, that you're a girl and you can be an astronaut, I mean, the whole American Girl phenomenon was based on, you know, be your star, you can do this.
Mm-hmm.
And we've done a great job at that. I'm wondering if, for some reason, we're missing our boys by, boys may have different interests,
mm-hmm.
and making sure that they recognize that they live in the greatest time in history, particularly in the United States, that they can do anything that they want to do. And I don't know if they're getting shortchanged in this.
Wow.
And I don't necessarily think, I'm not commenting on the Intel initiative, because the idea of adding more diversity, the idea of more people having interest, if they have interest in an industry, to be able to get into that industry, is wonderful. You know, the U.S. military is a great example of a truly integrated force. You name a nationality that I guess from the past, that, you know, for an American soldier, they can be a leader. Right. By the way, Rome was very inclusive back in history.
You're watching the Rome TV show from HBO.
I am, but this is from reading a number of years ago. That basically Rome said, they took over your area, everybody could be a Roman. And all you had to do is just not rise up and destroy us. And we're happy to have you. So in their armies, they were very diversified. They may have had leadership that may not allow that. But here in the United States, we've been pretty good. We, you know, between, for the last 20 or 30 years, you look at the post office.
Mm-hmm.
You know, men, women from all different nationalities.
Yep. Police force.
Yep. So I can, do you mean they're not all Irish?
I think they might all be Irish, but they are certainly a diverse kind of Irish.
Okay.
Some from the north, some from the south.
So I think this is an interesting thing to happen. Like I said, I do think that if we could figure out a way to teach boys to be men, that would be an interesting move.
We'll probably bring up that topic later, because I know we've had that conversation off the air a few times now. We'll probably get there. Well, I think we have enough information to get through another week. What do you think,
Chip? Yes, a frozen week.
A frozen week. I think we can survive another week. If you need more information, there's lots of great ways to get more information. You can call us or you can give us a text. Our phone number is 805-410-4TMS. Give us a call, give us a text. If we like your voicemail, we might play it on the air. If we like your text, we might talk about it. You can join us over at patreon.com, become a patron. We got some great rewards for people who want to help out the show. You can email us, toomuchscrolling@gmail.com. Our webpage is toomuchscrolling.com. We're on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. You can find us on iTunes and Stitcher and TuneIn Radio and Spreaker.
We always forget
about Spreaker. And don't forget about our daily news at news.toomuchscrolling.com. You can read all the stories that we're looking at. I've used that all week this week, as that's my news source. Is my own page is my news source now. It's great. I love it. What do you think, Chip? I think we have enough information to survive another week.
I think we can survive and move forward.
Thanks again for tuning in to Too Much Scrolling. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Hessenflug.
We'll see you in the future.